Welcome to In the Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
And welcome to In the Circle. Alongside Victor Anderson, I'm one pissed off Eric Lopez.
Oh boy! Whoa! Okay, Eric. Okay, before you go off, let me remind everybody. First and foremost, our podcast last night was tremendous. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks to our fans, tremendous feedback, over thousands of views.
Yes.
For the projections. And also for our podcast, we had a lot of podcast hits there leading up to the NCAA committee. But I will apologize because I said in the podcast that I was going to go easy on the committee because this was it's a tough year. It's a tough job. A lot of quality, a lot of parity in the sport.
You did say that. They thought they had a tough job this year.
But I underestimated them. I did not think they would be incompetent. And boy, did they prove us wrong.
Well, and before you go there.
We're skipping. We're just going to get to it right now because.
Okay, go ahead.
People know where they can find us. And,
yes.
And let's just get to it. It's the story that everybody's talking about. And that's Minnesota getting left out of not hosting a regional. Nowhere. Not one, not two, not a top 18, not a top 16 seed. Minnesota, the Big Ten regular season champions and the Big Ten tournament champions, 54-3. Ranked number 7 in the May 6th selection by the committee.
What the hell did you just say?
You heard me. Minnesota, 7th in the May 6th release of the top 10 rankings by the committee. How many days ago was that?
Almost a week.
Minnesota went on to win the Big Ten tournament, and they're not hosting. They're at
Something
Alabama.
Something is wrong with you.
We will dissect this. And why the committee once again proved incompetence, and they took it to a different level. We have been critical of the committee in years past.
Mainly you have.
Correct. I don't have a dog in the pony in this. My team's not in it.
You don't have a dog in the race?
And I'm okay. Hey, we didn't deserve to get in. Now I'm talking about UCF. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. But what we just witnessed Sunday night with Minnesota, 54-3, regular season champions, tournament champions of a league that, by the way, has 5 teams in the NCAA tournament. 5. That would suggest that means they play some quality teams in that league, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And yet, they don't host. Inexplicable. What's even more baffling is that in every sport, the head person of the committee, basketball, women's basketball, volleyball,
baseball,
you name it.
Heck, even college football with their playoffs.
Especially college football. They do it on a weekly basis. They address what the committee did on the selection show television program or after the selection show with the media. None of which the softball committee ever freaking does. Why is that?
Congratulations.
What? It's one yourself. Thing. We always address players and coaches. They're always held accountable for performance, correct? And they have to ask questions. Coaches have to deal with the media. Why did that go wrong? What happened here? Why did you do that? You interview players. What happened in the home run you gave up? Why did you give up the hit? And
it's
yet.
It's never okay to lose a game.
Thank you, Nick Saban. Was that Nick Saban?
Yes.
Oh. Why is it that the softball committee puts their heads down in the ground and all they did was come out with a stupid little statement to Beth Malwin's in the selection show saying, well, this is why Minnesota's not ranking. They're top 25. Nobody addresses it.
Funny you should mention that.
Yes.
The NCAA selection committee released a statement at about 6 o'clock Eastern time at the time of this recording. And I will read that statement to you in its entirety. The NCAA Division I Selection Committee spoke at length over a 3-day span about the University of Minnesota softball team, noting that many factors were considered regarding team seeding and that the final decision was difficult. As part of the selection criteria, the committee reviews each team's body of work individually when selecting the field of 64 teams for the softball tournament. When selecting the top 16 seeds, the committee emphasizes a team's performance against top 25 teams, along with other variables, including strength of schedule. Would you like to interject at this point in time, sir?
What a load of crock.
Would you like to interject with some
facts?
First
of all,
sir?
Here's an idea. And let me just hear me out on this. I know this is crazy idea. Just a crazy idea.
Well, I did say that we will offend some people with the language that would be
Here's
used.
An idea. How about when you put a committee together, you just read off what they were reading, schedules, reading. Call me crazy. How about you put a committee that actually, I don't know, watches games? Because I'm willing to bet you that nobody in that committee has watched Minnesota softball play all year. Because if anybody watched Minnesota softball in the year, and I get it, they're not on ESPN. I get it. They're on Big Ten Network. Oh, it's a tricky channel to find. I mean, there's this thing called streaming. There's things called online.
Yes.
Watch Minnesota softball. There's this thing called the eye test. Watch them, first of all, and you tell me they're not one of the top 16 teams in the country.
They're the top.
Okay? Now, let's address the schedule strength.
Go ahead.
Top 25, okay?
Yes.
Crap. Okay?
Go ahead.
All right.
Now, I have Minnesota's schedule up, sir.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
Let's see. What kind of schedule did Minnesota have this year? Obviously, the committee must be saying that they hosted a bunch of games at home, right, to start the year. They probably didn't play on the road. They probably didn't want to play tough teams. Oh, no, wait. They didn't play a home game till April.
April 4th, to be specific, versus South Dakota State.
So, Minnesota spent the first 2 months of the season on the road. Only major program that could probably say that.
Yes.
Okay? So they're playing on the road. They're willing to travel. They're willing to play on the road. Okay. Where do they start, Vic?
They started in Austin, Texas. Played two games against Texas.
Beat them twice. Is Texas in the NCAA tournament?
They are.
Okay.
I'll be keeping track.
I'm just checking. Texas. So they beat Texas at their place.
Twice. Yes.
Okay.
They went on to the Big Ten ACC Challenge in Raleigh.
Yep.
Knocked off Notre Dame twice.
Who?
Notre Dame.
Are they in the tournament?
Yes, they are.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Knocked off NC State.
And at their place?
At their place.
From?
ACC.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Now, how about that?
Now, they go to California. They go to the Fresno State tournament.
Fresno State hosting.
Beat Fresno State.
Who is in this field, correct?
Correct.
Has some good wins. Fresno State beat Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Made it into the tournament.
Yes, they did.
We called that.
We did.
Okay.
Beat Cal Poly.
So, wait. They beat Fresno State at their place.
Yes.
I'm just checking here. So, they've beaten Texas at their place.
Twice.
Not once. Twice. They've beaten NC State twice.
Yes.
I get it. NC State had a down year. Still, it's at their place. Right? Does that sound like a program that's ducking people?
No.
Okay. And they beat Notre Dame in Raleigh twice, which, by the way, ACC Big Ten Challenge, that's predetermined. You can't, you know.
It's not like basketball where they make the matches.
Correct.
And
Minnesota last year played at Florida State, beat Florida State. Okay?
Yes, by the way.
This is not just a Johnny-come-lately program. Okay.
By the way, Jessica Allister, friend of the podcast.
Continue. Fresno State. So they went to Fresno and beat Fresno State at their place.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Then they go to Baton Rouge.
Whoa. You're skipping some West Coast games in there.
Well, no. Well, they beat UC Davis and they beat Fresno State.
That's right. So you're telling me they're going to Baton Rouge and then they're going to go back to the West Coast.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Now, checking. Now.
Baton Rouge. Now, who plays there?
A certain team called LSU.
Really? They're pretty good, huh?
They beat LSU.
Did they make the tournament, LSU?
They are hosting.
What?
They are hosting.
Excuse me?
They are hosting.
Really?
Yes, they are hosting.
Hosting.
Matter of fact, they shut out LSU.
No, really?
Shut out LSU.
Hosting them.
3-0.
A team that's hosting.
Yes.
Huh.
So that's four teams they beat.
A team that was in the Final Four in the Women's College World Series the last 2 years.
2 years running.
Oh, okay. Just checking. All right.
Illinois,
that's
by
a
the way,
good win.
By the way, they beat Illinois State, who made the tournament.
No, they did not.
Illinois State didn't?
Won the Missouri Valley regular season title.
Thank you for the correction. Oh, by the way, we did mention they went to the West Coast. Went to Washington.
They're pretty good.
Yes.
Lost to them.
Played them twice.
Wait. So they went to Seattle to play Washington, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, everybody goes to Seattle non-conference to play Washington. I'm sure all the SEC teams go there all the time, right?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right.
Now, they stayed out on the West Coast.
Yeah, sure, why not?
They,
mind you, not on campus.
Went to Corvallis.
Oregon State.
Shout out Oregon State.
They're pretty good.
Made the tournament.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they did.
Get the hell out! out of here.
I can't. I'm producing a podcast.
Wait, and they win on the road? True road game. Not neutral field. Not home game.
True road game.
True road game. Huh.
2 days later, went to Berkeley to take on Cal, who was then ranked number 23.
Another Pac-12 school.
Shut them out 10-0.
Get the hell out. Run, run roll them, huh?
Shut them out 10-0.
Cal is not that good, though. They made the tournament. Oh.
That's six for those you counting at home.
Wow.
Went to Pacific.
Another road win, by the way. True road win.
Went to Pacific, who contended to be in the postseason. But still, quality road win.
Yep.
Swept Nebraska. Took 2 out of 3 at Illinois. By the way, made the tournament.
No. Get out of here. Really?
Yes. So think about this.
Wait,
Eric.
Somebody actually plays well.
So before they have their home opener at James Sage Cross Stadium, they recorded victories over 7 teams that made it to the NCAA tournament, all on the road at a neutral site.
Huh. Well, I'll be. Does that sound like a team that just didn't play a tough schedule?
Nope. Nope.
Now, was Texas top 20? No. Top 10? Top 25? No.
Nope.
Minnesota has no control over that.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's a win on the road.
True road game.
Twice.
So she went out and actually played people.
And as a matter of fact, Eric, you had the opportunity to talk to Coach Allister prior to the season on In the Circle. And she brought up this very fact about playing the schedule like she's played this season.
Well, I think there's a couple conversations there. You know, first, we've got to take care of business on our end and make sure that we're winning the games that we need in order to host. So, you know, I think 2 years ago, we looked pretty good going into the tournament and lost our opening game in the Big Ten tournament, and that hurt us. And then last year we had some big wins but some bad losses, and that hurt us. So there's things that we need to do on our end to help the committee make those decisions. So we look at ourselves first. You know, I think the other piece, I do think that there's something to be said for traveling the first 8 weeks of the season. You know, we don't use it as an excuse because it's what we do, and we're fortunate to have a great budget and be able to do it. But as far as setting up tournament schedules and setting up matchups and picking pitching matchups and whatnot, there's some advantages to hosting tournaments. And I don't think that's necessarily reflected in the RPI, and I think it would be a good thing if it was.
That was Jessica Allister from an interview before the season when we previewed Minnesota softball, talking about the schedule and the philosophy. Okay. So the committee comes out with a statement which tells you how angry people are in the softball community. We're at the point where the NCAA has to come out with a statement late Monday night.
Shall I continue that statement by the
Please
NCAA?
Do.
Okay. Additionally, 2 regular season rankings were released. However, and here's the best part.
We're Minnesota, including the last one, where Minnesota's ranked 7th.
Yes.
Okay.
However, the rankings are not used by the committee when determining the seeds and final bracket that was released yesterday.
Who the hell is using it? What's the point of it? What do you mean they're not using it? Who's coming up with the list? We were told that's the committee's top 10.
You sound like Jericho when you talk about the list.
Am I right on that? Is that not supposed to be the committee's top 10 that they released?
Yeah.
Minnesota was number 7 on May 6th. They won the Big Ten tournament. They didn't lose a game. If they're not using it, what the hell is the point of it? Who's using it? What do you mean they're not using it? Now, back to the schedule.
Back to the schedule.
We addressed what they played. Now, they address in the statement that Minnesota's weak, quote, schedule strength, 114.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And the lack of top 25 wins. Now, I'm going to give you a formula to counter, okay? And I'm going to expose the flaw in that philosophy. Are you ready for this, Vic? Get a number 2 pencil. I would tell the committee if they're listening to get a number 2 pencil, but they probably don't know how to use a number 2 pencil. Feel free to get a crayon. If you know how to use a crayon, sharpen it up real nice.
Woo!
So.
We told you, people.
So Minnesota has a 1/14th schedule. That's the criticism. Okay? All right? You know, compared to others like Baylor's 23, Oklahoma's 35. You know, okay, fair. Minnesota's non-conference schedule, which, by the way, everybody has this data. I guarantee you they didn't study this.
Okay, now this is out of conference strength.
If you take away the conference games, this is just a non-conference games.
Okay.
Minnesota's strength of schedule is 81. Okay?
That's out of conference strength of schedule.
Out of conference. No, not okay. In comparison, Auburn, non-conference schedule. Auburn, right? Hosting, 75. Is there a big difference there? Why is Auburn? Auburn is 75. Now, Auburn's overall schedule strength is 9. What would that be about?
SEC.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. Tennessee. You want to know what their non-conference schedule is ranked?
I'm going to say 60s.
112. They're 17 overall in the schedule strength. Why is that? Oh, SEC games. Talk about top 25. Here's the problem. SEC and Pac-12 dominate the top 25. That's where you get your quality wins. Okay?
As a matter of fact, if I may, you talk about the top 25.
Yep.
The Pac-12.
Yep.
As of...
And this is just polls. We're not even considering RPI, but go ahead.
Right.
By the way, Minnesota's RPI 11-12 all year long.
Yes, by the way. Pac-12, they had 7 teams
yep.
in the top 25. Mm-hmm. Minnesota beat 2 of them. Minnesota beat Cal.
Yep.
Was in the top 25.
Yep.
Played Washington twice.
Yep.
Who was in the top 25.
All on the road. Yep.
The SEC. They have 4 in the top 10.
Yep.
9 in the top 25.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure that all of them at one point or the other have been ranked in the top 25.
Correct.
Okay. Now, here's a stat that I have that the committee doesn't have because they don't take the time to look this stuff up like I do. So here's the category that I like to use when I make my selections.
Okay.
Which, by the way, got 63 out of 64 correct. And I got 14 out of 16 regionals correct.
Second year in a row, you got 63 out of 64.
I got 14 out of 16 regionals correct. The only one I missed Minnesota, like everybody else.
And you missed Utah.
Which we'll get to. Top 50 wins in the against teams in the top 50. And the reason I use that number, top 50, is normally if you're within the top 50, you're probably an NCAA tournament team.
Fair.
Okay. Minnesota went 12-3 against the top 50. All right?
Yes.
8 of those 12 wins came outside of their conference. Okay? All right? You got that. 8 of the top 12 of those 12 Minnesota wins out of the league.
Okay, got
it. 4 in the Big Ten, you know, which speaks to some of the issues the Big Ten will get to in the bottom. Okay? In comparison, Florida, number one ranked team in the country, okay? Number one RPI. 26-4 against the top 50. Now you're thinking, wow, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
I think I know where you're going to go with this one.
6 of those wins, of those 26, out of the league. Out of the SEC. And 2 of those 6 wins, by the way, that Florida picked up out of the conference, non-conference, FIU and Fordham. Okay? 6. Didn't I just say Minnesota had 8?
Yes.
Oh.
You did.
Okay. Just checking.
You did.
Ole Miss. Hot team. We got friends on that staff. Congratulations.
Friends of podcast, Ruben Absolutely. Felix and Tara Moat, and hopefully future friend of podcast, Coach Mike Smith.
Ole Miss against the top 50, 12-17. Same number of wins as Minnesota. But they had the luxury of playing 29 games. Minnesota played 15. So despite the fact that Ole Miss played 14 more games than Minnesota against top 50 teams, they have the same amount of wins. How many of those 12 wins did Ole Miss go outside of the conference?
0.
1. Jacksonville State. Is Ole Miss hosting?
They are.
Oh, okay.
But.
Oh, wait, one more thing. We ought to guess Ole Miss's non-conference schedule. Again, not counting SEC games. What's Ole Miss's non-conference ranking?
I shudder to think.
149. Minnesota's 81.
Now let's.
That's a 68 spot difference.
Now before you continue, let's. Let's just make this record. Let's just make this perfectly known. We're not saying that Minnesota should be hosting and Ole Miss isn't. That's Correct. Not what we're saying.
No,
Ole Miss is worthy of hosting.
Oh no, I got them as a host. They should yes. host. They won the SEC. I'm not scrutinizing Ole Miss. I'm not doing this to scrutinize the other teams. What I'm doing is exposing the committee's and the NCAA protecting them, which they always do. Logic behind Minnesota not hosting. Minnesota played a tough schedule. They played outside the league. Here's the problem. You want to know why Minnesota doesn't have the wins against the top 25? Because all of the top 25 games are in the SEC or the Pac-12. And you can't control that if you're Minnesota when you're playing a Big Ten schedule during the year. You're only allowed to play certain amount of games out of the league, and you can only play them. And she tried. She tried. It's not her fault that NC State had a disappointing year in the ACC. She beat Notre Dame. She beat Oregon State. She played them on the road. And I guarantee you this, the powers that be, the power outside of Washington, credit to Heather Tarr and those company. But there's a lot of programs that wanted no part of Minnesota this year. They knew that Sarah Gorenawagen was back for her senior year, and they don't want to deal with her. And that's why it's not as simple as the committee thinks it is to schedule teams. At all. I will continue. Tennessee, 20-9 against the top 50 teams. 4 outside the league. The reason Minnesota can't get those top 25, top 50 wins because they're all got bottled up within the SEC and the Pac-12. And these teams rack up wins against the top 25 and top 50 because they play each other every week. So you get more at-bats. So, of course, you're going to get more.
It's like in football.
Yes.
It's like in football.
Correct. Utah, Pac-12. Schedule strength, 67. Again, now in conference, Minnesota, 81. Utah, 12-9 against the top 50. Same number of wins that Minnesota did. 2 of those 12 outside the conference. You see the trend? Minnesota has just as many wins, competes as many wins out of the league against the best teams in the country than all the teams that are hosting. It's crap. It's the committee not doing their work. They didn't do that work, Vic. They didn't do that work. It didn't take. How long did it take me? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? It's not that hard. All that data is provided. They chose not to do it. They chose not to do it. They chose to just suck. Hey, it's all about the SEC and the Pac-12. Let's just go 8 with the SEC. Let's go with every Pac-12 school. That's where your quality games is. The message is, if you're not in the SEC and you're not in the Pac-12, or you're not Oklahoma, or maybe if Michigan had that, it was your name in your jersey, maybe you can't host. Don't give me this crap about them not playing anybody. Don't give me this crap about their schedule strength or lack of top 25 wins. I just pointed out what the flaw in that logic is. You got anything?
You are a lot milder than what I thought you would be.
Somebody that's a lot classier than I am right now.
Yes.
Is Jessica Allister, the head coach at Minnesota. She addressed the media Monday about the big elephant in the room, about Minnesota not hosting, and what does it mean moving forward as Minnesota heads out to Tuscaloosa.
There was disappointment. There was a little bit of shock. You know, I think when you go back and you look through our preseason schedule, you know, we go to Texas and play Texas twice. We go to the Big Ten ACC Challenge, sweep Notre Dame and NC State, go to LSU, beat LSU on their home field, go to Fresno, who was a top 20 team last year, beat Fresno, go up to Washington, go to Cal, go to Oregon State. You know, I think it's a tough thing to swallow when you hear that schedule's not good enough, because I'm not quite sure what else we could have done in the preseason. But at the same time, you know, that's all out of our control. And I think that it's by far not the biggest injustice done to anyone in the world yesterday, you know. And life's not fair. So now we turn our attention to Louisiana Tech. We get back out on the field and we get ready. But again, like, that doesn't change anything. Like, just even if they come back and they say we're wrong, like, we're not doing a redo, we're going down and we got to beat La Tech and then we got to beat Alabama. So we got to really make sure that we keep the message on, we're still going into the field of 64 and everything that we want is ahead of us. And if we get sucked into everything else, you know, our energy is not going to be where it needs to be. So we need to make sure that we are focused on controlling what we can, and we got to get ready to go down and we got to get hydrated because it's going to be hot. Yes. And that's what they don't expect anything, right? Preconceived notions are bad. I thought we had a chance to host a super regional. I thought we were going to be on the edge there. I thought the winning the tournament would put us over the edge. I thought there was 2 great wins against Illinois and Ohio State, who were both in the top 35 of the RPI. I thought that I thought hosting a regional was a lock and that we had a chance to host a super. But again, I mean, you don't get to control that.
Have you had other coaches reach out?
Lots, yeah. And, you know, that's great. You know, it's not a bad thing. But again, I'm not going to let my energy get sucked up by that. You know, we got to make sure that we worry about Gopher softball and getting ready.
Jessica Allister addressing the media in Minnesota Monday, early Monday.
And I tell you what, man.
I want to give credit to Minnesota softball, Minnesota Athletics. They posted that on Twitter.
Yes.
That's where we got it. Those are some of the highlights. If you want to watch the full presser, and the majority of it anyway, you can check them out on Minnesota.
At Gopher Sports.
Thank you.
You can follow them.
Thank you very much.
At Gopher Softball, you can follow them on Twitter. Yep. If you want to follow Minnesota Athletics, at Gopher Sports.
Absolutely. Very classy, and she has to. She has to move on from that situation. Very difficult. I've been there. I was there with UCF in 2015. We thought we could host in a sports bar, and you get deflated. And for them, it's worse because nobody in their right mind would have thought they wouldn't even host. So that, I mean,
it's not only the fact that you don't host. It's the fact that you have to go to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama.
It's ridiculous. They're not hosting. I just broke down. I just gave you some numbers. That's just some of it. We're not even counting all the road games. You know, it's just, what are they looking at? What are they doing? What are they talking about? And that's the problem. And part of the problem is I don't think the committee in softball is very qualified to do this job. Compare that to college baseball. Chris Del Conte, the athletic director at TCU, big-time baseball program, is in charge as the committee of baseball. That's the difference. We've got baseball figures it out. Oh, let's see. Who's in this baseball committee? Ray Tanner, a national champion head coach at South Carolina, who's the athletic director at South Carolina. I don't know. That's a pretty qualified guy.
Yes.
Don't you think? Joe Carlin, athletic director. Rice. I heard last I checked, they had a pretty good baseball program.
They do.
Okay. You get the trend here? These are some big-time baseball people. They follow the sport. They care about the sport. The people that are involved in softball, I'm willing to bet, don't watch softball on a regular basis. You can go look it up online, who's on the committee, and make your own evaluations. My point is,
it sounds like to me that if you want to have the best field of 64, you want to have people involved in the sport.
They're invested in it. They will do the homework. They will watch games. Will talk to people throughout the country. And that's, I don't think that's happened here. And they could say they did, but I think clearly I just exposed them with those numbers I just released, which I bet you nobody knows. I bet you they didn't know that either if they did their homework. I'm not saying Minnesota should be a number one, number two seed, but they're definitely a top 16 seed.
The resume speaks for themselves. How are you the number two ranked team in the country? Regular season champion.
Yep.
Tournament champion. Best winning percentage in America. And your reward is you got to go to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama at Rose Stadium.
Minnesota went 38-3 in away or neutral games this year. Only played 16 home games. They went 22-1 in the Big Ten. Hello, 22-1 in a league that went 5 bids into the NCAA. So clearly you didn't think the Big Ten was that bad if you put other teams in. They won Illinois. They beat them 3 out of 4. Illinois is in the field. They beat Wisconsin, who's in the field. They beat Ohio State in the championship game that's in the field. Now, the one thing that did hurt Minnesota and Big Ten, the way they schedule things, they don't play everybody.
So they didn't play Michigan.
And that hurt them, obviously. But is those three games really the difference? I don't think so. I think, to me, sometimes you just – we are in the very good possibility. There's a poll that's coming out this week before the regionals come out. And there's a chance that Minnesota will either be receiving votes or could be the number one ranked team in the country going to the NCAA tournament. They're not hosting. Can you imagine?
You know what the funniest thing about this whole situation is, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in a moment? We could have a matchup between the number one and number two teams in the nation, not to decide the national championship, not to decide who plays for the national championship, just to decide who goes to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
What? Excuse me, but what the hell sense does that make?
When I saw Minnesota, I mean, if you would tell me, if you would have told me that Minnesota, Alabama, and Florida are in the same kind of bracket, I'm like, wow, that's a heck of a Women's College World Series bracket.
No. It's just to get there. It's just to get there. And you're wondering, as a matter of fact, the gentleman who is who's on that part of that triumvirate.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Minnesota should be outraged, but John, and I give John Calipari credit for this. It's not just Minnesota that you're hurting by underseeding them. Okay,
yes.
You're hurting a team like Alabama. Mm-hmm. Alabama, who's hosting, now has to deal with Minnesota. They're going to have to deal with a Player of the Year finalist in Sarah Groninwagen. They're going to have to deal with the Big Ten Player of the Year, Kendall Lindemann, 20 home runs. They're going to have to deal with a team that's 54-3. That's not typical
and
in a regional.
And a highly motivated 54-3 at that.
And that's what Patrick Murphy, as a head coach of Alabama, has to deal with. He addressed that with the local media in Alabama early on Monday.
A little bit, I mean, they've had a hell of a year. I mean, three losses, that's just unbelievable. That doesn't happen. And they've got, I know they have good hitters, they have good fielders, they have two really good pitchers. I mean, it's just a good regional. And, you know, we need to get by the first game and then, you know, whoever we play after that. But, and the lady that is there, she's done a hell of a good job. I think it's her seventh year, so she's turned that program around. I thought we'd host, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, the committee is not the same year after year after year. You know, like four or five go off and then they get four new people and they might have different ideas and they might have served on a volleyball or a basketball committee and they do things differently. And then you just never know. Like the baseball committee is totally different than what the softball committee does. So whatever that group decides, that goes. But I thought we had a good shot of hosting when we beat A&M at the SEC tournament.
Patrick Murphy. Did you catch that last part?
Yeah.
Talk about the committee and the baseball committee, compared it?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
He has a point.
Go ahead.
And the thing, and you know, you don't have that, well, you don't have that continuity, number one, every year. And number two, when you don't have the people who know the sport inside and out, understand it. And look, the committee, they have an investment in the game. But if you compare it to the baseball committee, if you compare it to the volleyball committee, if you compare it to the basketball committee, is that investment as high as what those other committees do? And we kind of talked about this off the air, the accountability. When the men's basketball selection show gets released every year, they have on the selection show after the Field of 64, they have the head of that committee answering questions about, why was this team seated this way? Why was this team in? Why was this team left out? They do that for baseball. They do that for women's basketball. Where is the accountability? Where is the people saying, where is this? Why was this team ranked here? And the fact that there was an email that had to be sent by the committee to talk about Minnesota tells you the outrage.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, yep. I was tweeting on our Inner Circle SB Twitter. When I first saw that Florida bracket and I saw Minnesota and Alabama, I'm like, oh, my God. This is going to break Twitter. And sure enough, it did. Everybody was on. Adam Amin was on it wondering what the heck was going on.
Graham Hayes said it was the worst debacle. And he covers multiple sports, yes. Not just softball. So it was the worst of his career.
Yes, Graham
ESPN
Hayes.
Covers softball in the ESPN women's
Graham
basketball.
Graham Hayes was critical about it. Jen Schroeder, friend of the podcast, Jen Schroeder was critical about it. Alabama fans were wondering what the heck did we do to get this. Everybody was going nuts about it. And as someone who's followed softball for about 15 years, almost 16, 17 years, as a fan and as a broadcaster, I have never seen a team so, and I'm just going to flat out say it. If you're not going to say it, I'm saying Minnesota got screwed. They got screwed out of being a top 8 seed. They got screwed out of being a host. And they got screwed by being sent to Alabama. And oh, by the way, if you survive Tuscaloosa, you probably have to go to Gainesville to take on the number one ranked team in the nation in a super regional. What did Minnesota do to deserve this? They played the teams that they played. They couldn't control who was in the top 25 and who wasn't. And you're rewarding a team. Look, you're rewarding teams because they have more, like you said, you have more at-bats. If you have more at-bats, sometimes you're going to get more hits. Sometimes you're going to strike out.
In other words, Minnesota, just get yourself into the SEC. Play more top 25.
Yeah, sounds like
just
it.
Go, leave the Big Ten. Oh, they can't do that? Or that's not yeah. that's not how that works, huh?
Yeah. You said this, Eric, multiple times as we were doing our projections. This would be a selection show that could divide the sport. Consider the sport divided.
Yep.
And we're talking about a Grand Canyon size divide here, my friend.
It's a massive issue.
Yeah.
The credibility of the sport has been damaged. There is a belief that now if you're in the SEC, if you're not in the SEC and you're not in the Pac-12, you probably don't have a shot.
Yeah.
Fair or not. That's what's out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not pretty. And I think it's clearly what the NCAA, with a statement coming out Monday night, tells you that a lot of fans have sent emails to the committee. They've sent emails throughout the NCAA, which is good. Keep it going.
Yes.
I think coaches have to speak up. I think broadcasters have to speak up. But that's what happens in the other sports. No, that's what happens. Jay Billis would be crushing people right now. That's what we're missing. The problem
And that's what we're doing.
The problem is there's this mentality of, hey, it's a women's sport. Hey, everybody's positive. Oh, look at these girls playing the sport. No, they're athletes.
Yeah, whoopty freaking do.
They're athletes. Yes. They put it on the line since fall ball all the way to this year. Let's not treat them like charity case. Let's not look the other way. This is big girl sport here. This is a big girl. It's Tommy D's, always likes to say. Covers Alabama sports.
Yes.
And describes college softball with, you know, big girl softball. Let's stop being with the everything's great.
Everything is awesome.
Bull. There's a lot of issues here. The sport's grown. It's exploded from a television standpoint. Guess what? You're going to get scrutiny. Stop putting your head down on the ground. There are some serious issues, and this has to be addressed, and it has to be spoken for. Otherwise, we're going to do this again next year,
and
we'll
find
a team that gets screwed.
Yep. And we'll be on, and we'll be having a podcast next year talking about another team that should have been hosting and get sent out to an SEC school.
A team that could be the potential number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah.
Top five. It's been top five.
It's sad.
Now, that's what we'll have on that. We could spend more time on that, but
we spent enough on it as is.
There is, as Coach Allister said in her press conference, very important. They're not going to do it over. We're not going to reset. It is what it is now. And here's the positive if you're a Minnesota fan. The positive is this is a team that's been on the road for the first 2 months of the year. This is a team that's accustomed to winning road games. This is a team that's accustomed to beating teams at their park. This is a team that's going to be bringing in a top player of the year candidate pitcher who I think will be the future national team candidate for the Team Canada. She will be the national pitcher in the Summer Olympics in 2020 for Team Canada. I speak of Sarah Groenewegen, who's as good as it gets in the sport, can beat anybody in any location. This is an offense that is hitting .349 as a team. This is a team that will not be intimidated to be playing on the road, and it's a team that's going to be used to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. They were always being overlooked by Big Michigan in the Big Ten. So what else is new, right? And now Minnesota is going to go into Alabama, and that's to the regionals. And the Alabama Crimson Tide are going to have to deal with Minnesota. And that ain't going to be fun.
Look, Alabama better focus on Louisiana Tech first. Because this is a Louisiana Tech team that Cinderella run made their way and won the Conference USA. So Alabama needs to take care of business.
Well, Alabama will be dealing with their fourth seed. Minnesota will be taking on Louisiana Tech.
No, thank you.
On that 3 seed, because you know, for some reason, Louisiana Tech and RPI of 98 is a 3 seed, which again, explain that one to me. But hey, they're doing their homework. That's ridiculous. I Minnesota will be locked in focus in Tuscaloosa. They're going to be motivated. And as I've said, they've played. They're used to playing on the road. They've played in neutral field. They've played in tough adversity. They played at LSU this year. They've played in Washington against the Huskies. They've played in Grunewagen has pitched in postseason against at Arizona, very difficult place to pitch. Also at Washington in postseason, she will not be fazed by that. And Alabama, quite honestly, struggled down the stretch offensively, and this is going to be a pitcher series. And it's going to be Grunewagen and a deep staff. Amber Pfizer, 13-0 this year, 1.74 ERA. They're very deep in the mound, and I think it's going to be a heck of a regional.
Yeah.
It's going to be a heck of a regional, and the unfortunate thing about it is one of these teams, Minnesota or Alabama, more than likely, with all due respect to the other two teams in the regional, will be home at the end of this weekend when they really shouldn't be.
Which is sad. But, hey, that's the nature of that. Hey, that's what it is.
But that's the wrath. Minnesota, because you did a terrible job putting to Minnesota. Not only you hurt Minnesota, you've hurt Alabama.
And you could hurt Florida.
And you may hurt the Florida Gators, who are the number one overall seed in Gainesville and potentially could play the winner of the Alabama Regional. They have Oklahoma State and FIU in that regional and FAMU. Storyline there, Oklahoma State with Kenny Kajewski, the former assistant at Florida, real tight with Tim Walton. That'll be a plot line. We'll have Adam Schick on the podcast, the Gator Radio voice, to break that down more in depth as far as that regional is concerned. So we won't spend much time on that. But interesting that Oklahoma State gets put in there with the familiarity in the personnel. And then FIU, a great year out of Conference USA. They get in. And I think what got them in was the three wins against Marshall, which was a top 30 team.
Yep, regular season champion, and FIU had a chance to win a Conference USA title, tournament title, but lost a tough one, I think, in WCM.
Yeah, let's just scan through the rest of it and kind of not spend too much time on it. The number two overall seed was Arizona. I don't have a problem with that.
No.
They get South Carolina, gets sent out there, so they won't be going to Tallahassee. I think Arizona kind of breezes through that region.
That's gonna be a lot of home runs in that region. If you're looking for offense, that might be the regional to look for.
Yeah, Seth Godin, the winner of that regional will play the winner of the 15th regional. Who's the 15th national seed?
Baylor.
Correct. The Baylor Bears out of the Big 12 get to host, but the reward is Oregon State out of the Pac-12 and James Madison not hosting. Interesting that they didn't host, even though 2 years ago, similar resume, maybe a couple extra wins, did host. Megan Good, obviously one of the best pitchers in the country, better hitters. That's going to be a tough one for Baylor. If you're looking for an upset regional, I'm not counting Minnesota and Alabama. That's not an upset. Whatever happened, no.
That's not an upset, okay?
But I do think James Madison can knock off Baylor.
Watch Oregon State.
And Oregon State's very good. That's a loaded regional for Baylor. They're going to have their hands full on that one. Oregon, number three national seed. Again, I had Florida State ahead of them, but I understand. I don't have a big problem with that, actually. Ducks are loaded.
Yeah.
Who's in their regional?
They got Missouri, Wisconsin, who was the team that you missed.
Yeah, I had Wisconsin in, and then I knocked them out. It's funny, you know, Minnesota didn't play anybody, but apparently Wisconsin's good enough to make it in. And, you know, Minnesota beat them. I didn't think they have enough wins out of conference. I thought San Diego State, that's the team I missed. I thought San Diego State should have gotten in over Wisconsin. That's the one I missed. San Diego State beat Utah out of conference. Finished second in the Mountain West. By the way, Mountain West, sixth rated RPI in the country. How many people would have known that?
We do.
Yeah, we knew. Bet you the committee did. Interesting that Fresno State got the nod, even though they finished behind San Diego State. I'm wondering if the committee just predetermined that they were only going to get two bids from that league, which I hate when committees do that. But I think that's what happened. Missouri gets in. I warned everybody that if the SEC got in, that was bad news for teams like Kennesaw State, SIUE, Edwardsville, and other teams that didn't make it. And the SEC got all 13 in. I think Oregon wins that regional.
Easily. Easily.
And then they'll play the winner of the 14th-seeded regional, Kentucky. Correct. Kentucky's the 14th national seed.
Well, we got two friends of the podcast, right? We got our Coach Lawson and Coach O'Shaun Stanton.
A lot of people maybe were surprised that they hosted. I wasn't. I had them pegged as the host. Marshall's in that regional. Illinois. Wait, what conference is Illinois?
Big Ten.
Who they lose to in the Big Ten tournament?
Minnesota.
Huh.
That's going to be an interesting regional because you got DePaul.
Yeah.
Who's going to give Kentucky some problems. You got a Marshall taking on Illinois. So it...
Yeah, yep.
It's not going to be a cakewalk for Kentucky, I'll tell you that much.
No. Illinois is very good. Dixon is very good for Marshall, the pitcher there. I mean, they, Marshall, second time they've been Lexington.
Morgan Zirkle as well.
Yep, yep. Florida State, the fourth seed, the Seminoles with Lonnie Alameda, will host Georgia. Jacksonville State are the twos and the threes.
And then you got Princeton in the
Princeton
opening
Princeton in the Ivy League, which is funny because 2 years ago in Florida State, I was there in Tallahassee, Florida State played Dartmouth. So apparently they like to send the Ivy League teams to Tallahassee, really. Georgia, obviously, there. They get in. Last place team got in. I wasn't surprised. They beat Arkansas 2 out of 3 at the end of the year. I think got them in. I don't think Georgia's a threat to Florida State. I don't think they have the pitching to slow down that Florida State offense. And I think Jacksonville State is pretty good out of the Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
And could surprise Georgia there a little bit, but I'm taking, you know, the Noles are loaded. The winner of that regional take on the winner of the 13th-seeded regional, Baton Rouge.
And that's going to be interesting.
Hosting Louisiana Lafayette.
And I've seen some tweets from the LSU fans. They don't want to see, they don't want that Raging Cajun Red to.
By the way, can those Raging Cajun fans that were criticizing me because I didn't have Louisiana Lafayette hosting, who got that right? Thank you.
I believe you
had
that.
Where's my apologies?
One. I believe he had that one good, sir.
McNeese State. Corbello.
Be careful.
Pitcher. You know where Corbello came from? LSU. Transferred from LSU to McNeese. Senior year. Well, could finish her career at LSU where it started. Interesting if she plays spoiler between that Lafayette and LSU regional there.
It's a possibility.
Obviously, a lot of history with LSU and Louisiana Lafayette. They don't play in the regular season. This goes back to the Yvette Girard days. Yvette Girard was not treated very well in Lafayette when she was the head coach at LSU because she left Louisiana Lafayette when she was the head coach to go to LSU. A lot of hard feelings there. Should be a raucous atmosphere. Good to see Hoover, Carly Hoover, pitch in the SEC championship.
Yes, that's
on that Saturday. I think that's important for LSU to get her back with Sydney Smith and Wall Jasper. That's a big difference for them. Could be the difference. Maybe more depth than Lafayette, but they're going to have to score runs. When they've lost to Lafayette in regionals, in particular in 2013 in the past, they have not been scored runs against Louisiana Lafayette pitching. So keep that in mind as you watch that regional. UCLA is a 5 seed. They get to host a nice February invitational. Oh, wait, no, it's bracket.
Yeah.
Fullerton.
San Jose State and Lehigh.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Ole Miss is the 12 seed. Congratulations to Mike Smith.
Yes.
Who needs to start getting more hype as one of the best coaches in this sport. He's done what, and I didn't think it was possible.
He did what many people said could not be done.
And that's win it in Ole Miss in the SEC. And he's done that. Great staff with Ruben Felix, Taryn Moat. We've had Ruben on and we've had Moat on.
Friends of the podcast.
They earned it. I agree with him hosting. And it's not just because of the SEC tournament run. Yes, they beat Florida. They beat Alabama. Beat LSU to win all that. But that validated them sweeping LSU in the regular season. It validated them beating Alabama 2 out of 3. And if you're going to have all these SEC schools host, you can't have a team like Ole Miss that wins the tournament not host.
Yes.
And it wasn't like they were a 6-18 team in the conference. They won a lot of games in the league. And they got hot. And they beat the best teams. So I actually don't have a problem with Ole Miss hosting. North Carolina, interesting that they wouldn't bust North Carolina to Florida. Instead, they fly them out, which sends mixed messages because in the past, the committee says they try to keep teams to bust because of finance reasons, but yet when they don't. 26 flights, by the way, if you count them this year in the selections. 26! That's a lot of money to be spent. 2 years ago when UCF didn't host and they didn't send them somewhere else, they got them sent to Florida State, I was told that's because they tried to keep the buses, you know, the flights in a minimum. In a minimum. Apparently that went out the window this year.
Was 26 the minimum?
That's not a minimum. If you look at my projections, I could have saved the NCAA a lot of money with 19. I don't get it. Mixed messages. That being said, North Carolina's in it. Arizona State, Pac-12. Tough foe. Good, interesting regional, ACC. How does Ole Miss handle the prosperity of winning that SEC tournament and hosting? Will there be a letdown? That will be the question.
Southern Illinois as a 4 seed is going to give Ole Miss some trouble. So
letdown. Never been here before. interesting from a hosting standpoint. They were there last year in Norman as a regional team, but keep that in mind. Washington is the sixth seed in that regional. Michigan gets out to Seattle. Man. That's where Beth Mellins and Michelle Smith will be at. Don't ever cut out Hutch. A couple years ago, she won us regional in Tempe. I don't think Heather Tarr is thrilled to see Michigan.
And I don't think neither of them would be thrilled to see Fresno State.
A very good team. That's a loaded regional. It's going to be wild. Yeah. There's going to be some late night softball there.
Yes.
I would be shocked if it didn't come down to an if necessary game in that regional.
If necessary will be necessary. Is that your prediction?
Yeah. Utah, new host as the 11th seed. The Utes host, despite the fact that they were swept at home in the final weekend of the regular season by Washington and had lost to to Oregon State on the road 2 out of 3 prior to that. Not playing their best softball, and yet they're an 11th seed.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have BYU and Mississippi State.
And by the way, fans, for those of you who are following Utah, the BYU regional will be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday regional. Everyone else, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Utah, which had 12 wins against the top 50, two of them out of the Pac-12. Same number of wins against the top 50 that Minnesota did. Minnesota actually had more wins out of the league than Utah did. Schedule strength out of the conference. Minnesota, 81. Utah, 67. Yet Utah host. That's the flip. That's the one I would that flip it. It's a simple flip.
Fair.
There's not. I just gave you those numbers. If I put that as a blind resume, you're going with Minnesota there.
Yeah, easily. And they have a tournament championship and a regular season championship to add to that resume.
I do like the fact that Utah gets to host it. I've seen him in person. Flippin's a great player. I do think, but interesting, could have a potential. How does Mississippi State handle that environment? They're basically playing road games all weekend because BYU is going to bring fans, Utah is going to bring fans. So that's kind of unique in that standpoint. I do like the nuance of that.
The nuance.
Yeah, thank you. It's very new. Auburn, 7th seed, Clint Myers and company, the Tigers. Who are they hosting?
Auburn, they got Cal.
Pac-12.
Notre Dame. And East Tennessee State, one of the three first-time participants in the NCAA tournament.
Disappointed. I put in my projections. I would have liked to have seen this. They could have done it. Put Arizona State at Auburn. Clint Myers against his old school. But God forbid, you know, storylines. But they'll do that with Florida, but they won't do that with Auburn. Look, Cal's interesting. Pac-12 teams at SEC sites are always very interesting.
Hey, Arizona won at Tennessee last year. Yeah. Utah won at Kentucky last year. I'm just saying. I'm not saying Cal's going to do it.
Right.
But it can happen.
The winner of that will play the winner of the Norman Regional, the number 10 national seed, Oklahoma. They'll have Tulsa and Arkansas. Tulsa and Arkansas have played a home-and-home this year, like they always usually do in the regular season. They'll play for a third time in Norman because both teams can bust in Norman. You know, I just saw Tulsa in Greenville. Emily Watson, fantastic. Can Arkansas scratch out some runs against Tulsa? And can Tulsa muster up some offense? Not a power lineup in Tulsa. That being said, I like Oklahoma. I felt Oklahoma should be a top 8 seed.
Yeah.
Big 12.
By the way, you talk about storylines. If Oklahoma advances and Auburn advances, who played for the national championship last year?
It'd be Oklahoma and Auburn.
Thank you very much.
Oklahoma, 14 wins against the top 50, by the way, 14-6 this year. Well, they did get a lot of wins in outside the league as well. 8-9, Tennessee is the 8, A&M is the 9, Knoxville, Tennessee hosting Ohio State. They have Longwood, who they'll play first, and then the third team in that, the other team in
that. South Carolina Upstate.
Upstate, A-Sun, their deal there. I mean, I think that's one that Tennessee can handle. And then the 9 seed, Texas A&M, have Texas for the second year in a row. We'll be coming there. And then Texas State with Randy Rupp, phenom pitcher, and Cat Osterman, the assistant. So you got Cat Osterman against Texas. You got Texas A&M in there and Texas Southern, all Texas all the time. Everybody's flying out to Waco. Everybody's busing to College Station. That's how they decided to do that. Should be very interesting, I think. I don't understand. I mean, seriously, this is what I just I think A&M has way much too much firepower offensively for both Texas State and Texas, but it wouldn't surprise me if A&M is playing Texas State in the regional final and not Texas.
I'm worried Texas A&M may not have enough of a staff to counter up with Texas State. That's the thing.
We'll see. Contrast. The other lunacy about what the selection committee did.
Oh, wait, there's more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tennessee and A&M potentially could play in the Super Regionals. Played 2 weeks ago.
That's one conference. That's one rematch.
Yeah, they played in the regular season.
Yes.
You could have a potential Florida-Alabama.
That's two.
Which they didn't play in the regular season, but they're in the SEC.
Yes.
Or you could have Florida and Minnesota, the top two teams in the country with both way over 50 wins. I think 54-plus wins, actually. Could play in the Super Regional. Yeah, that's real good.
You got Utah-Washington in the rematch?
They just played!
Yes.
Like this weekend!
Yes, they did.
Washington swept them. Where's the originality there? It's not that hard. It's one spot. And then Oklahoma-Auburn, as you alluded to, they played last year for the national championship. Now they could be potentially could play for the Super Regional. I mean,
you've handled this a lot better than I thought.
Really?
You have. And I was warning everybody on our Twitter last night and early before the podcast that, look, there may be some language used that may not be suitable for adults, and we've used it. It's called common sense.
We'll try to enjoy the NCAA tournament. One of the things we'll do is in the circle, we're going to be on the road. We will be on the road. We're going to head out to Gainesville. We're going to check out the regionals there this weekend. We'll actually do some audio live from Gainesville that we'll put on the line, on the site.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that this weekend. We'll kind of share our thoughts. Depending on schedules and how matchups play out, we could be heading out to the Super Regionals. We will have Justin McLeod check in from Oklahoma City throughout the Women's College World Series. So we're going to have a lot of great coverage in the postseason. And we're going to, obviously, despite the negativity, the incompetence, and what's transpired, it's still an exciting sport, and it's going to be an exciting tournament. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Vic, tell the audience where they can find us.
Follow us on In the Circle on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and Apple Podcasts. Of course, follow us on Podomatic. That way you can get the up-to-the-second notification when our newest podcasts and episodes are out. Send us an email, innercirclesb@gmail.com. And, of course, you can follow our blog, innercircleblog.wordpress.com.
Do you want to make predictions?
I predict Eric will continue to rant about the committee off the air on the podcast. Matter of fact, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give my predictions on my own Twitter, @CatBirdRed, before the regionals start on Thursday. But I'm gonna give you two shock. I'm gonna give you two. I'm gonna give you two little nuggets. Watch this. You talk about the Baylor regional.
Yep.
I got James Madison.
All right.
I don't know if you really consider that an upset.
Well, based on seed.
Based on seed. You know what? I'm going Marshall.
In Lexington.
Yes.
Okay.
Had Scott Hall on the podcast.
We'll be broadcasting that for the Marshall station.
Had Sean Stanton. I like Marshall. I think Marshall, and remember, this is almost the same exact regional they had a few years ago. So, hey, I'm just saying.
It's going to be fascinating. So those are some of your upset picks.
I'll give you my full... I'll give you my full prediction.
It's going to be wild. Obviously, the story, everybody's going to be watching Tuscaloosa because you have Alabama hosting a team that is a legitimate Women's College World Series contender in Minnesota, a team that will be motivated. It'll be inspired. It's talented with a chip on their shoulder, with something to prove after being disrespected. Minnesota coming into Tuscaloosa against Alabama in one of the great atmospheres in college softball. I expect that place to be packed. And it's going to be phenomenal, and I'm going to be bummed out because at the end of that series, we're going to lose a great team.
Yeah, we're going to lose a national championship contender.
And we shouldn't lose him this early. That's the problem. They shouldn't be. This could be a Women's College World Series matchup. Could be a Super Regional matchup even. Not a regional. But It is what it is.
Yeah. As Coach Alice has said, we can't worry about what happened. We can't do it over. We just have to focus on what we have to do, and that's making our predictions, getting ready for our possible trip to Gainesville.
Yep.
To watch the Gainesville Regional. And as Eric mentioned, we will have our good friend of the pod, Mr. Adam Schick, joining us to talk about the Gators.
We'll break that regional down in depth. We'll talk about the Gator season. We'll talk about the familiarity with Oklahoma State's Kenny Kajewski. Being an assistant under Tim Walton, we'll break that down, and we'll talk some other goodies with Adam Schick, who's been a longtime softball voice. So make sure to look for that. Until then, for Victor Anderson, I'm Eric Lopez. Hope you've enjoyed this edition of In the Circle.